City. It's your man, Big Pat, the voice of your Charlotte Hornets, and you're listening to the All Hornets Podcast Network, presented by Sports Illustrated.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
You are listening to the Hornets and Heartbreak podcast on the All Hornets Podcast Network, one podcast feed with multiple shows making sure we cover the Charlotte Hornets from every angle. If you like what you hear, please subscribe on Apple Podcasts and leave a five-star review. The All Hornets Podcast is affiliated with the Fans First Sports Podcast Group. On today's episode, we talk about the history of Charlotte Hornets pain for about 20 minutes before getting into Brandon Miller and Miles Bridges' recent performance. Hornets and Heartbreak Classic. I hope you guys enjoy. Hello and welcome to the Hornets and Heartbreak Podcast. My name is Mark Bernacki and I'm here with my co-host Tim Rogers. What's up, Tim?
What it do, Liquor Mark?
I'm doing pretty well, man. The Hornets are back to being bad. Lost to the Pistons on Monday. That is three times this season, Tim, where we have lost to the Detroit Pistons, the team with the longest losing streak in one season of all time. And we lost every single game against them. I would also like to point out that they have 11 wins, three of which are against the Hornets, which means that we have more than 25% of their wins are against us.
Is that bad?
Yeah, 1 in 4 of their wins, more than that, are against us. That's actually not good. I looked it up.
Well, I'm sure we'll bounce. We have another three games against them, right? Yeah, I'm sure we'll definitely even out the series.
Nah.
Oh, that's depressing. Could you imagine? Imagine, like, you know, when Cade got drafted. That was, it sounds so alien to say now, but like, that was kind of an exciting matchup. LaMelo versus Cade. And now that's like, if a random person tried to be like, oh man, yeah, the Cincinnati Bengals, they're playing the Texans on Sunday, man. You're not going to watch? It's like, ah, oh, man. Yeah, the battle is lost.
Yep. Yep, Tim. I have our numbers up, pulled up here. Just points per game, we're 29th out of 30. Opponents' points per game, we're 19th out of 30. Pace, we are 30th out of 30. SRS, we are 30th out of 30. It's just not good, Tim. This team is really, really bad. We lost to the Wizards before that. We beat the Nets in between. Nice little win to keep hopes alive. But yeah. Since the Portland win, it's been extremely negative. I went to that Magic game last Tuesday, and you know, I've been to a lot of Charlotte Hornets games in my life with no fans slash Bobcats games.
I can't really remember a time where it was more dead than that game against the Magic on a Tuesday.
Yeah, like I was texting you throughout the game and you were like, yeah, dude, I'm fucking here. And it sounded like you were at work. It's like one of those like, nah, they can't really talk. Yeah, I mean, the cool part of that game, I guess, was the fact that, you know, real NBA heads know that I guess Franz Wagner and Brandon Miller fucking hate each other. Mm-hmm. But other than that, just so, so ugly. I gotta say, like, it was cool to ride the high. And like, I think that we both knew that the post deadline trade, like a little bit of a high, but like, I thought that our offense would stay like, you know, regress a bit, but our defense would get much, much worse. But no, man, it's like, I'm at the point, I feel like I'm in 2004. I'm like, God damn, man, the Hornets scored 110 points. That's crazy.
Looking at our games, 84, 93, 85, 99, 114, 106, 89, 100, 110, 97. I mean, we're below 100 more often than not in the past 10 games.
And there has been some talk, I think it was started by Ethan Sherwood Strauss on Substack being like, okay, like, or Tom Haberstroh being like, okay, there's like a clear decline in offense. And like, that's cool. But it's like the things that are declining about offense are normally like, you know, there's five less free throws a game, all this and that. It's like, nah, man, the Hornets are just playing like dog shit. It's like, we just don't get to the line. Like, it's not one of those things of like, it's not easy to point to. It's like, oh no, this is just a bad team. It's not like the refs are like messing us up offensively. Like, nah, we just never get to the rim, shoot a bunch of mid-range shots. Like, nah, the offense just sucks.
And not only did we lose to the Wizards and the Pistons, we lost badly to the Wizards and the Pistons.
The Wizards game especially.
I mean, the Pistons game, we lost by 17 points. The Wizards game, we lost by 12. Two of the worst teams in the league. But we were on the road, so I guess it, you know, they were supposed to win. But, yeah, I mean, Tim, I got a question for you. And then we're going to get into some, like, you know, actual analysis here. But before we get into that, at the end of the season every year, there's, like, a period of time where I'm like, okay, like, I'll get to watch the playoffs. And it's the summer. And then at some point, I'm like, when is Hornets basketball going to come back? And I start to get excited about Hornets basketball coming back. When is that going to be for you this year? How long do you think it's going to take to get excited again?
I think our last game is like April 17th, April 16th. I'm fucking ready April 19th.
Are you serious?
But I will say, like, that is, like, you know, I'm of the belief, you know, now this is our lifestyle podcast, I enjoy looking forward to things. I like buying a concert ticket for October and then, you know, being like, damn, man, that's going to be awesome. So, yeah, I am feeling that way. And then, you know, leading up to the draft, I get super excited. Also, I have some draft thoughts. I'm going to kind of wind this in. This is a little topic. I think the more that I watch, read, and think about the draft, the worse my takes get. Which is not a great advertisement for the next 3 months. But yeah, I don't know. I think sometimes you get too galaxy brained and, like, you know, we were so worried about Brandon Miller last year, this and that, overthink things. And, like, I don't know, this year I kind of just want to roll off vibes. Like, I'm just like, oh, Dillingham, Kentucky, that dude can fucking hoop. Yeah. And I think I'm just going to stick with that. But yeah, no, you are right. This is a brutal end to the season. As you said in text, this is kind of the longest season of all time.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it feels like. And last season was not much better. It was like somehow better than this year.
Well, yeah, last season was not as depressing because there was that talk of like, oh, since February 1st, Mark Williams and the Hornets, they have a top five defense, a top 10 defense. Once LaMelo comes back, it all comes together. It all makes sense. Plus the second pick, you know, top five pick, whatever it was. And now it's just like, okay, cool. Like, we have our cornerstones, you know, point guard, center, and hypothetically, you know, shooting guard, small forward, and Mark Williams or now Brandon Miller. But instead it's like, now it just raises questions like, will that ever come to fruition? Like, will Williams be healthy? Will LaMelo ever be healthy? And like last year, it's like we had something feasible. And this year, it's like, I really hope, but it's just not the same.
Yeah, I think last year, I mean, the difference would be like the last year we had the bones of a team that made the play-in. So it was like, okay, you throw in this center and you throw in Brandon Miller, and why can't that team win 50 games, right? Like, why can't
Miles
that team
is coming back?
Exactly. Yeah. So I mean, now it's like clear that it's such a fresh start, that the hope for like 3 years from now might be greater, but the hope for next season is not super, super high. I mean, we can do our over under wins podcast at some point, but like, I might do a first take the under in the history of this podcast. Like, I'm always so optimistic, and you know, now people are just gonna stop listening to our podcast. I mean, I'm self-sabotaging our own podcast. I just am not that excited. I'm excited about this draft. I'm excited that Brandon Miller is really good, but Mark Williams and LaMelo Ball just don't play basketball. And like, until I see them both play basketball for a consistent amount of time, it's going to be hard for me to get my hopes up about this team. And I asked you that question because my answer is like September, dude. Like, I'm going to watch the draft. I'm going to get excited about the draft, and then I'm going to forget about the Hornets for a little bit. And we're going to talk about Hornets related topics, but I'm not going to let myself fall into this trap of getting my hopes up so high for the season. I'm going to wait it out. I'm going to wait it out until I start getting excited.
So you're saying that all of our money we pulled together, the $5,000 on the Hornets 30.5 over, is not going to hit?
Hey man, if we win out, let me count real quick.
No, but I think that you're right, especially with the fact that based on last year's summer league, which is like, cool, we had the second pick. So it's like, okay, something to be excited about. That summer league team was like dog shit. It was terrible. Yeah. And also, like, you're worried about like fending off listeners. I hope that any listener knows that, hey, this is a place you can come for truth. Certain Hornets podcasts or certain people will be like, well, you know, there's a lot to look forward to. No, not really. We're realist. This shit sucks. And you know what? Realistically, there's a better than 50% chance 1 year from today, or 1 year in 1 day, since, you know, normally goes like that, we'll be like, oh man, you know, I don't know. What about Cooper Flagg? We might have a chance. Nah, dude, it's shitty and it sucks, but let's bask in it, man. It sucks. But yeah, this is what we signed up for.
All right, I'm going to derail the outline. Let's just go into it now. I mean, I've been thinking a lot just deeply about the Hornets. And I'm like, you know, okay, so we've had the worst franchise since the Bobcats came back to Charlotte. But what happened, Tim? What happened that the Hornets are just the least cool team in the entire NBA? Like, what? How did this happen when we were leading the league in attendance throughout the entire 90s? The Hornets were so cool. The colors were cool. I texted you this earlier, dude. Even the parking lot was cool to the Charlotte Coliseum. That is a cool-ass parking lot, all right? It's like diagonal. It goes into the stadium. You can see the whole parking lot. Coolest parking lot I've ever seen. All right. And yeah, now the Hornets have the worst attendance in the league this season. They're not cool. The game against the Magic was not super fun. I went with my neighbor, Mike, who's probably listening. It was fun, but like, yeah, no, nobody got into it. We were the only people like yelling things in the entire stadium. And you know, last year, also bad attendance numbers. We were 23rd in attendance. In 2022, though, Tim, we were 15th in attendance. In 2021, we were 8th in attendance, and that number is skewed because it was COVID, so there were only like thousands of people going to the game, so that doesn't really matter. But yeah, I mean, our attendance numbers are just slowly dropping. This is the bottom of the barrel. This is the worst it's been in the past 6 years or whatever. And I'm thinking, like, why is it so uncool to be a Hornets fan in Charlotte, North Carolina, when it should be a basketball state? What do we need to have happen for it to be cool again?
I think that, well, first of all, small thing, you know, you mentioned the parking lot. Parking does suck uptown. And, you know, I walk to games and it's like, I'm happy, like, cause I enjoy that, but it's like, yeah, that's still like fucking 2 hours essentially. Dude, it's bullshit. It's a bad product. Like, you know, especially the best part of watching the Hornets is listening to Eric and Dell. And it's like, yeah, you don't really get that. You get in the stadium, it's morose. Like half the stands are rooting for like random teams. And like, I don't mind going to a Warriors game. and people rooting for the Warriors. I get it. I watch Steph Curry. I fucking root for that guy. You see a Mikal Bridges jersey in there? You're like, what is going on? How far have we fallen? Nah, man, it's unacceptable. And it's just not a good atmosphere. It's like, I don't want to just go to a game and, you know, watch them throw out like bullshit jerseys. Like, give us somewhat of a team. Give us something. I don't think that we're being ungrateful. Like, they've been giving us slop for 10 years. I'm not asking for a filet mignon. I just want a hamburger. Just give me something.
I loved that pure anger there, Tim. Yeah. I mean, this team was leading the league in attendance, like I mentioned back in the day. I did a little research. You know, we're both 26. We weren't necessarily around for the Hornets era before the Bobcats. You just hear stories about how popular the team was. I mean, we were alive, but we were barely alive. I remember going to a Hornets game as a kid at the Coliseum, but that's a very faint memory. I don't really remember anything other than I was happy when the team scored 100 points. I thought that was cool. Yeah, so basically, you know, George Shinn was the owner of the Hornets, and he got involved in some sexual scandals. He was charged with something, got off the charges, but that hurt his reputation with the team. There was the Bobby Phils accident where Bobby Phils tragically died. He was, by all accounts, like a tremendous person, and like was active in charities in Charlotte, beloved, died in a car accident. George Shinn asked the team to buy a new stadium or to make a new stadium, asked the city to build a new stadium. And it seemed like that was going to happen, Tim. There was like a poll saying that 60% of people supported the building of a new stadium in downtown Charlotte. And then this organization lobbied for people to vote against it because the city of Charlotte would not raise the minimum wage from $7.25. And they thought it was unfair for us to build a new stadium with that public money rather than it going towards workers. And so the team moved him, and things have never been good ever since then. Basketball in Charlotte. I also want to point out, this is an interesting point that I had never really thought about. When the Hornets came to Charlotte, right, in the 80s, that was super cool. Like, we have a basketball team now. Like, damn, Charlotte's big time. Like, everybody was going to support them. When the Bobcats came back to Charlotte, Charlotte was like a big enough city that nobody really gave a shit. Like, the Panthers were good. The Panthers had already been to a Super Bowl. Or if they hadn't already been to a Super Bowl, they were about to be in a Super Bowl. I don't know my timeline.
Yeah, they'd been to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, they'd been to the Super Bowl. The Panthers were the big deal. And, you know, they tried with the Hornets rebranding, becoming the Hornets again to make them cool again. And thus far, man, they just horribly failed. I got asked, I mean, I've told this story on the podcast earlier this year. I asked somebody at a bar this year, Selwyn Pub, to put on the Hornets game. And the guy was like, you want to watch that train wreck? Like, he said that to me in Charlotte, in fucking Charlotte. I mean, come on, man. What do we got to do for the Hornets to be cool, Tim?
Well, I thought about this where it's like, okay, would it be like, you know, consecutive 50 win seasons? Like, would it take 3? Would it take 10? Like, what would it be? Also, you know, not to get too socialist Tim here, but that is, to quote Joe Biden, a load of malarkey about the, you know, minimum wage. The people are rightfully still upset that, yes, a multi like 100 millionaire asked for a handout and then complained and tried to put it on the people instead of taking responsibility. They got a check to move to New Orleans, and David Stern was, I think he was a good commissioner, but he definitely was short-sighted and decided to move to one of the smallest TV markets in the nation and did that. And people are mad. Like, I wouldn't blame it. Like, you know, if we were of the age, if we were 18 in 88 when they came, like, and then we put all that time in, if I was 35 and they moved, I would be like, I don't care about the Bobcats. We were screwed over, which, you know, what happens to many people. I don't blame people for being like, I don't care about the Bobcats. Like, oh, cool, Gerald Wallace, that's cool. You know what's way cooler? Baron Davis and Chris Paul.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Yeah. And, you know, I brought up the shin, you know, he's gone out. He admitted to having two sexual relationships that were not with his within his marriage. And he just sort of fell out of favor in the city of Charlotte. And it's super interesting. Like, the attendance numbers decrease before the team was not bad. We had winning seasons to close out the time in Charlotte. Like, it doesn't really make sense. Like, what the hell happened in 1999 where people just stopped caring about the Hornets?
The lockout was part of it.
The lockout was a huge part of it as well. I forgot to mention that. And, you know, there's just a story there that's super fascinating. I wanted to talk about it on the podcast because how do you go from one of the coolest teams in the league to, I mean, we are the least cool team in the NBA. I mean, the Wizards and I guess the Pistons have an argument too, but we're up there.
And also, when we brought back the Hornets, we didn't bring back the uniforms.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of just like bastardizing a precious thing and thinking that maybe people are so stupid they won't care or whatever. I don't know what the rationale is. Maybe I'm giving them too much, you know, never assume malice when incompetence could be the option. But yeah, man, we have a community that does care about basketball. Like, everyone I know is like, man, can you believe what's going on at Duke, UNC? Well, it's like, people cared about the Hornets. And now people are like, national media, not to be like, you know, not sound like Donald Trump, be like, oh, the national media is doing this. But like, I do think it's dismissive when people that, you know, aren't from here are like, oh, well, no one in Charlotte cares about the Bobcats. Like, yeah, cool, dude. What if they stole the Trailblazers from Portland and then they gave you guys, like, you know,
the leopards.
Oh, yeah, the Portland Strawberries. You guys don't like the Strawberries? Oh, you guys are shit fans. It's like, no, how about you guys have your history ripped away from you?
Yeah.
And take it away, man. It's like, it does create a thing for a certain fan base. And not only that, just to have, you know, the worst uniforms and rooting for Primo Brezic for 2 years. Yeah, like, that damages a certain thing. And then you won't spend any money. And then you were like, why are people upset? It's like, I don't know, because I'm tired of eating garbage every day.
Yeah.
Fair to say.
I think you said the uniforms. Our uniforms now are pretty cool. Like, the white ones especially, I like them a lot. When we came back, they were not cool. The big thing is the logo, dude. Like, if I'm going to wear a Charlotte Hornets shirt, I want to wear the old logo. The logo now sucks. It's a lame logo. It's like, I mean, it's the same as like the Pelicans logo. Like, it's just a horrible logo.
Have some fun with it, man. Like, where is the juice?
Yep. 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 The old logo is all time. It's a sick logo. Alexander Julian, designed the old uniforms. That guy, took a deal to design the uniforms for a pound of Carolina barbecue mailed to him every single month, or maybe it was 5 pounds. That's the coolest thing I've ever heard. Where are stories like that, man? We need shit like that with this Hornets team. LaMelo, play for 5 pounds of Carolina barbecue. Let's do it.
LaMelo, play for any amount of money, please. Just show up. Also, I do think that's another reason why this is the longest season of all time. We're like, I don't think, you know, like, I know it's tough with, like, oh, season ticket sales, like, people buying tickets at a time, like, to just bite the bullet and say, hey, man, Mark Williams, he's cooked. LaMelo, he's cooked for the season. It's just the fact that, like, they treat the fans as though we're like kindergartners and like, we'll throw a temper tantrum if we have bad news. We're adults. Just let us know LaMelo's not coming back. Like, just like, what is this facade?
Yeah. Yeah. It's very silly.
Pretend like, oh, like, at least, you know, and I hate to defend Ben Simmons, but it's like, yeah, the Nets will at least be like, all right, he's out. Whereas, like, the Hornets, it's going to be, like, July 15th. They'll be like, LaMelo is, you know, practicing pregame. Got the braces on. Like, I don't know. It's like, just don't treat us like we're children.
Yeah. Okay. Let's get into real basketball. If anybody made it this far, I applaud you. Brandon Miller, Tim, you got thoughts?
This podcast is brought to you by AllHornets.com, a credentialed Charlotte Hornets outlet powered by Sports Illustrated. AllHornets.com's aim is to bring you 360-degree coverage on all things Charlotte Hornets, From breaking news, rumors, fan Q&As, and in-depth analysis, allhornets.com covers it all, and nobody does it better.
I do have thoughts. So since January 1st, or January 19th, actually, so this is the last 26 games, he's averaging just under 21 points a game, 5 rebounds, 2.7 assists, 1.2 steals, almost a block a game, and 2 turnovers. So the assist-to-turnover ratio, not great, but he is shooting 46% from the field, 37% from 3, on almost 8 attempts per game, which is very good. Only 2.5 free throws per game. So I do think this is an interesting thing to talk about with Brandon Miller, where I do think that some of the pre-draft concerns were fair. I don't think that he is great at finishing at the rim. He is he's shooting 49% on twos. Only 66% at the rim, which is a little below league average, but not terrible. He doesn't get there a ton. But I do think that the people that were pro Brandon Miller are correct. He is a knockdown shooter. He has great size. He can handle the ball. Not a great ball handler, but an adequate, you know, second option. So I think that you can look at Brandon Miller, and if you want to look at the negatives, you can find them. They are there. But I think overall, we're looking at someone where I'm like, man, he's maybe not Paul George, but I don't think he's that far off.
Yeah, no, he had that stretch before we got the new players that was particularly exciting. I would say since the trade deadline, he hasn't been noticeable, but he hasn't been as noticeable, right? Like, he's on a little hot streak here in the past, like, 5 games. And I don't know, integrating with, like, new players is always difficult, finding your new role. Basically, in that first 2 games, he, like, didn't shoot the ball at all. And then ever since then, he's been back to relatively normal volume. He's not doing as well as he was before, for sure, since the new players have arrived. But, you know, I think it's good that he's getting these reps. And it looks like his usage rate would be low. But you said something crazy, that his usage rate is actually higher than Miles Bridges is in the same span.
Yeah, he has a 26% usage rate. Since, you know, January 19th, which is good, like, which is like what you want. It doesn't feel that way. But, you know, that's what the stats bear out. And like, he's just like a little streaky sounds as though like he's Buddy Hield. And I don't think that is the case, but like, you know, last game, it's like, okay, man, he's 3 of 6 from 3.5. That's awesome. And then in the second half, he takes, you know, 4 more threes and just kind of just passive. Which is, you know, okay, I get it, like, trying to be a good teammate. But yeah, selfishly, I would like to have him have, like, a, man, get up 28 shots in a game. That being said, you know, in this, I believe it's 26-game period, he's only scored below 10 points one time. Mm-hmm. And that was an odd foul game. But it's like, so he's very consistent. But yeah, like, in a weird way, you expect a rookie to kind of have, like, oh, 32 points, then 12 points. Then, you know, maybe like 26, but it's like, no, he's pretty just consistently 24 points, 18 points, you know, somewhere between 16 and 25 every game. So it's not the worst thing in the world. The one thing that does kind of alarm me a little bit is his free throw rate is at 15%, which is 10% lower than league average. He doesn't initiate a ton of contact, but I will say, even though he's only shooting 40% from floater range, 18% of his shots total. But like, I kind of like those looks. Like, that's when like he kind of does the Euro step and like just puts up a jumper over guys, which I think looks good and is like solid. But yeah, I don't know. I would like a little more aggression from him.
Yeah, I agree with that. I also think it's the way the offense is structured. I think getting Trey Mann and Micić was good for the team overall, but it means less of Brandon Miller trying to do it himself, right? And we had that back-to-back stretch, Indiana and the Lakers, where he had 30 points in both games. I think it was like 35 and 31, I don't know. Yeah, he had 30, back-to-back 30-point games. And he was just like the center of our offense. Him and Miles both were just isolation creation. And like what he's doing now is more healthy for him probably, but I think he could like initiate action a little bit more. I would like to see him not like take the ball off the court every once in a while.
Rather than always be man and Micić.
Yeah, I think that like, you know, if the season had played out somewhat normally injury wise and like he was stepping into this role now, like that would be cool, but I kind of just view it now. Maybe it's like, you know, expectations, but like this isn't one of those guys where it's like, oh, like, you know, your best player is out and like you're gonna have to like fit into a role next year. Now I'm just like, nah, dude, fuck it. Like it's kind of your team. Mm-hmm. Like take 26 shots in a game. Go 11 for 26.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, 100%. I will say in the last 10 games, he only has one game where he's shooting over 50% from the field. So that's not great. He's been not as good as he was before the trade deadline. But all still very, very encouraging signs. I think I'll stand on the argument that we jumped the gun on. He's the best player on the team. I think LaMelo still is the centerpiece. But Brandon Miller is like, it's like 1A, 1B for sure.
Yeah, I don't think that either would really work without the other. I think if Cody Martin was taking a spot, then yes, the offense would be a little better. But yeah, we need both. And it's not one of those like, oh, well, James Harden, you know, he's got to get off the Thunder. You know, there's just too much. Like, yeah, man, like, we need him. We need him. We clearly need them. I like it. I will give a, you know, positive shout out. I don't want to sound like negative on Brandon Miller because like he is the reason we're watching the games. Like outside of just like general stuff, but like, nah, man, he's like a great watch every night. Like he does just kind of look like a mature adult as far as a basketball player, but he has the since January 1st. This is courtesy of NBA University. Everyone should check them out on Twitter. I think they're like a good non-biased, it's not like a stat muse thing where they try to compare players to like a straightforward letting you know. Number one in mid-range efficiency at a crazy like 54%. Brandon Miller is fourth in the league since January 1st in mid-range efficiency, even above like Devin Booker, right behind Brandon Ingram. But yeah, he's consistent like 48% on 86 attempts, which is like a solid sample size. And they're all good looks. Like even that Magic game, he kind of had a rough shooting night, but it's like every one of those shots like bounced in and out. Like I don't think that they're all bad looks. Yeah, he's just got to continue to grow. And I would like, you know, I mean, we're not fighting for wins anymore. It's like, let's just see what we have for next season. LaMelo will still be running the offense, which will clearly be a good thing. We won't be excited to get more than, you know, 85 points in a game. But yeah, it's like, you know, let's just kind of let's throw some stuff against the wall.
Yeah, I agree with you. Watching the Magic game was particularly frustrating because it did feel like actually Brandon Miller was just like the only player playing particularly well. I think Trey Mann also had a good game in that game. Micić was not bad, but Brandon Miller like only shot 15 times or something in that game. And, you know, it felt like it could have been 20 easily and it would have helped the team. Okay, Tim, I'm going to open the floodgates here. You have like 15 stats prepared to describe why Miles Bridges is not good anymore. Let's hear it.
Yeah. I tried to like think of like a cute shtick, but no, honestly, this is just kind of hater corner. And I'm just going to read these off. So his field goal percentage has dropped 3% since last time he played, whatever. His true shooting percentage has gone down three straight years from 62% to 59% to 55%. Mark, do you know what's happened in between those 4 years?
Well, the first year he had a good true shooting percentage, but wasn't nearly as involved in the offense. Yep. The second year is like his best year ever, the 21-22 season or 2021 season. Sorry.
Yep.
Yeah, wait, I'm tripping. 21-22 season. And yeah, what else happened?
I was going to say the league true shooting percentage has gone up every year. So
yeah, okay,
he's at 55 right now, which used to be the average about 10 years ago. Now that's up to 58%. We say, well, how could this possibly be the case? Well, let me tell you, his free throw rate is down 10%. It's down from 27.2 to 17.2. League average is 25%. His percentage of rim attempts has gone down from 36% of his shots to 27% of his shots, while the field goal percentage dropped from 72, pretty elite, to 67, around league average. His shot distance has increased from average shot going from 12.4 feet from the rim to about 14%. And so you say, oh, well, this must just be he's taking on more load of the offense. That could be the case, but his self-creation has gone down. 86% of his field goals this year are assisted. That is up from his best year. It was 82%. And so he's, oh, you know, let's see, what could it possibly be? His dunk percentage is cut in half. He went from 11% of his shots, you know, finishing in dunks, to 5%. He had 118 dunks, you know, about 1.5 a game, loosely, his last year, to 48 dunks this year. And I think that's clear. Every time, like, and I hate to, like, harken on it, but it's like, I'm so tired of seeing him jump off 2 feet and just, like, not create contact, but just, like, ooh, belly ache by the rim and throw off some BS. And it does not go well. So he's shooting 51% on twos this year. That's down from 58 a couple years ago. The league average is 55. So he's 4% below league average. What other athletic one athletic indicator that's also going down is his block percentage. Went from 2.2% to 1.2%. That means his athleticism is going down a little bit. He's not getting help blocks anymore. That's a problem. His usage is up to 25% this year. So his offensive win shares have gone down from 5 to 0.5. And it's not his turnover rate has gone lower. And like, so you look at it. Oh, his 3-point percentage. Oh, it's a 36. That's really good. League average. He's still below league average. He's below league average everywhere. This is a guy who has lost his bounce and also his mid-range shots from 16 feet to 23 feet, aka the Kobe zone, aka do not shoot unless you are Kobe. Don't do it. It's doubled from his career average. So he is just the king of 22 footers now. And I see, like, you know, he's a hot button issue for many reasons. I get it. But I do see certain Hornet fans being like, well, how could you not pay the guy? It's like, I don't know, because he's pretty much turned into Kent Bazemore.
All right. That was good, dude. That was an excellent rant. Yeah. You're describing what we see on the TV, man. You're seeing a player who's not the same as he was 2 years ago. I mean, all the stuff you said is valid. The thing that's like the most alarming for sure is the dunk rate being cut in half. He used to be this exciting athletic player. They would dunk on you. And he's had the one good dunk. What was that against Memphis? Memphis?
Yeah. He had like a monster dunk that he used to have every game.
Yep. He used to have one of those every single game. Now it's like, is Brandon Miller the best dunker on this team? He might be. And that's kind of depressing, man. Like, you know, dunks are maybe too valuable, right? Like not necessarily something that's like an elite ability. Like,
well, it's one of those. It's like, it's normally tied to other players like DeAndre Jordan, like dunk finish. Oh, obviously insane. Like it's a lot of setups, but there is a value to being like, you know, they talk about like, oh, like you're the leader of the offense. Then there are certain guys, like they talked about Kevin Durant with Golden State, like you're the tip of the spear, like you're the finisher of the offense. And, you know, it's helpful to just be able to fucking dunk sometimes, like, you know, not just because it looks cool, because layups can get blocked because there are certain things like I always heard about as a kid. My dad was always like, man, Larry Johnson, he messed up his back and, you know, that was just kind of it. And I was like, well, it clearly had to be like a multi-year decline. And then you look up Larry Johnson's stats and you're like, oh, whoa, no, it was just 1 year. And Miles Bridges, the same thing happened. There's no injury other than, you know, just being personally like not a good person. But yeah, no, he's aged 5 years in a year and a half. And it has to be brought up. Like, he's no longer someone that I would be like, okay, yeah, man. Like, even he's a bad person, but $100 million. Now I'm like, no, like you're not good enough for for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And he shows flashes. I mean, those back-to-back 40-point games was like, okay, he's back. But yeah, selfish play a lot of the time, man. And it's tough on this losing team to play devil's advocate to be any good. And being on this terrible team is not going to help anybody's statistical profile. So I will point that out. But the athletic decline is pretty clear. And, you know.
He looks like, you know, like how you feel like when you're like trying to like pull yourself up like out of a pool. And like, you know, just like there's some gravity and like it just takes a little longer than like if it was in an empty pool, you'd hop right up.
Mm.
That's how all of his attempts look. He plants very clearly with 2 feet, 3 foot, 3 feet from the basket. And then he just like puts his chest into someone and tries to maneuver around. And no, it's just not there. Like he just used to finish. He used to crush Clint Capela. Like he would just throw these guys in the rim. And now it's like, oh, you're 32 years old.
But you're not. Yeah. All right. And that was incredible, Tim. Incredible.
I'm just gonna say here's some honorary mentions or honorable mentions. His offensive box plus minus has gone down from 1.8 to 0.1. His box plus minus in general has gone from 1.5 to negative 0.9. And also for his career, what do you think his half court attempts are? Just like end of the quarter heave attempts are.
Wait, we're bringing up heaves in this?
You better believe I'm bringing up heaves.
What are his totals? I don't know, dude. I have no idea.
He's 0 for 26 in his career because he's not pure of heart. All right? He's a loser, and he doesn't deserve any charity, dude. Get this guy out. Like, I was so worried about this for 2 years. How we replace Miles, and now he's here, and I'm like, dude, who freaking cares? Like, get the next Cam Whitmore, get Cam Thomas. Who cares? Miles Bridges, washed, sucks, man. I don't want him on the team next year. I don't want some bulky power forward that just wants to take 20-footers.
All right. So, yeah, sign and trade Miles Bridges. I'm with it. I'm not gonna list off all the negative stats that you just listed off, but I'm right there with you. I don't want him on the team anymore. Fresh start, it's called for. We just need new players. And you know, he didn't want to be traded at the deadline, probably just to make more money, but he has said good things about the city of Charlotte. But when you watch the team play, you don't really see like a leader out there, you know. He's not passing the ball. He often doesn't pass the ball and takes some bad shot. And, you know, I think it's time.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
I think it is time. Yeah. Went from a leader to a loser real quick. And there's just no reason to have it, man. He's taken away from Brandon Miller. Get him out of here.
All right. Tim, what do you have for Media Corner?
I have it's a bad artist name, but I do promise the song is good. It's called, the artist is Hooray for the Riff Raff. The album is called The Past is Still Alive, and the song I would recommend is the first song on the album, Alibi. A really great album about substance abuse, and it's kind of a good little country western twang. What you got?
Let's see. Love is Blind. Ooh, yeah, classic. Coming in with the reality show. Just watched the most recent season of Love is Blind. The finale's on tonight. I'm going to watch that. And the thing about Love is Blind this year is that everybody on the show is from Charlotte, which is kind of cool. They did like the entire casting from Charlotte. So they come back to Charlotte like in the second half of the show. The couples that made it, that think Love is Blind, they come back to Charlotte. You get a little Charlotte clips all the time. So pretty good season. I enjoyed it. Lots of drama.
Yeah, I saw that like some people like broke up at Carowinds.
yeah, that happened. Yeah, spoiler alert. Late, but yeah, some people broke up. Dude, I gotta tell this story. This guy Jimmy on there, he was like, yeah, I used to come here as a kid. And then she's like, what's your favorite ride? And he lists some new ride that I'd never heard of. And I was like, Jimmy's been going in the past couple years, dude. Jimmy still goes to Carowinds all the time.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those, like, I think it's cool if adults like Marvel movies or comic books, anything. But like, if you're like 30 years old and you have like new takes on Carowinds rides, like, get a family, get a job, bro.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, he like knew immediately what his favorite ride was. And I would have been like, oh no, the tall one. But he knew immediately the name, and it was a nerdy name. And I was like, he's been gone recently.
Yo, imagine, Mark, you know, you're in the dating pool. I'm somewhat settled down, but like, imagine like you're on like a third date and you're like, all right, man, maybe at Carowinds Boulevard, you got to go on the Intimidator.
Yeah, the Intimidator, I know, but this dude knew the new ones. And I was like, get out of here with that. You went last week, dude. You know you did.
That is some hoe behavior.
Yeah, and then he broke up with her at Carowinds. Kind of wild. All right, Tim, it has been real. The Hornets suck, but we're still here.
I love how fucking depressed you were. You told me beforehand you'd be a little down, and like, I've been with you through some dark times. You've literally never sounded more upset than those first 2 minutes. That was great.
You never sounded more upset than when you were talking about Miles Bridges. It's been real, dude. It's been real. Hornets of Heartbreak.
Worst of Heartbreak. If you could be so kind as to like, rate, review, subscribe, leave a comment, hit us up on the Instagram DMs, Twitter DMs, anything you got. We appreciate it. Thank you so much for listening this deep into the episode, if you are.
Yeah, I'm going to head up to Boston this weekend, Tim, and take notes on what a good basketball team is like.
Oh, my God. Yeah, definitely cut that out along with the other 45 minutes you have to edit out.
All right, I will. All right, peace, bro.
Peace.